The second exam that we want to consider and analyze today is the one that was given on July 16th, 2010. In this case, a tank is filled with an uncompressible fluid, and the internal pressure must be controlled so as to avoid any possibility of explosion. Clearly, if the tank is filled, the volume will augment, and the internal pressure at a certain point will become dangerous. The idea is to keep under control this value so as to regulate the input flow rate that is in turn determined by a turbine moved by a motor. In fact, the tank is filled by means of a tube that is crossed by a fluid, and as I said, the flow rate F1 is determined by a turbine. The fluid is supposed to be at a constant temperature and will exit from the tank with a flow rate F2 that is unknown, so it can be considered as a disturbance, but clearly is fixed because it is related to the amplitude of the section of the tube that is applied in the right part of the tank. Instead, the input flow rate can be augmented or not, depending on the velocity of the turbine. Considering the amount of fluid that is present into the tank, and considering that the moles number is given by the ratio between the mass and its molecular weight, supposed known together with the density of the fluid, the request is to design the regulation system that keeps the internal pressure, let's say, set around a certain prefixed and desired value. As usual, the requests are listed into a certain number of steps. The first is draw the block scheme of the acquisition regulation chain, identifying the input and the output variables in every block, and in particular the process variable. Then we have to calculate the transfer function of the process, highlighting what variables must be known. Finally, we have to plot the Bode diagram of the loop function, that is the process plus the actuator, discussing the eventual problems in terms of stability or instability, and this will bring us to decide a certain type of regulator that can eliminate the sources of the instability. The request is also to describe the numerical implementation. The last point is related to the choice of the transducer. In this case, the request is to use an ultrasound-based transducer that can detect the process variable, and this transducer must be accurately described. This is not a trivial point because it is required a description that corresponds to what we have said during the lessons, together with the conditioning network that the ultrasound transducer is particularly important and complex, so as to maintain the precision of the measurement in the order of the 5%. Let's consider a possible solution that is contained in the same file of the text of the exam that is called MAC160710. We have said that the process variable is the internal pressure into the tank, while the manipulated variable can be considered in a set of possible candidates. First of all, the angular velocity of the motor that drives the turbine. Then the velocity of the turbine that is a linear velocity and clearly will be related to the angular velocity of the motor omega by the equation V equal to omega time R. R is the radius of the turbine. And then we know that with a certain velocity set by means of the motor, the turbine will provide a suitable flow rate, F1, that is the input flow rate with which we fill the tank with the fluid that in this moment is not defined. And at this point, the control variable could be considered the power supply of the motor. In this case, once more, the motor that could be considered is a direct current motor, because we are not able, with the text that we are considering, what kind of a fluid must be pushed, must be sent into the tank. Therefore, maybe the fluid is very light or without viscosity, therefore it is very easy to fill the tank and we don't need any particular force to do this. Instead, maybe we have a fluid that could be dense or a little bit heavier than a typical fluid like air or water, and in this case the capability, the power given by the DC motor is surely better and preferable than that provided, for example, by a stepper motor. For the moment, since we are talking about of fluids, probably there is no need to consider particular oppositions due to friction and inertia. So at this level of the analysis, we could suppose that the motor is driven by voltage and will exit with an angular velocity. Another consideration that we can do is related to the mass of the fluid that enters into the tank. Clearly, the mass is given by the integral function of the flow rate and is related to the difference between what is entering, F1 I mean, and what is exiting with F2 as flow rate. Let's suppose, for example, that the fluid is a gas, like the air. We can remember that the ideal gas law, that is the product of the pressure and the volume, is constant and equal to the number of the moles multiplied by the Reynolds constant times the temperature. Clearly is constant if the number of the moles is constant and the temperature is constant, can be applied, if we are not considering big pressures, also to real gases. Therefore, let's consider this law in this case, and let's imagine that the fluid is injected into the tank with constant pressure, but with a volume that it occupies and that will augment depending on the amount of the fluid itself that will enter into the tank. This volume clearly will be directly related to the internal pressure, because if the volume augments, the internal pressure will increase as well, up to a situation into which the tank could really explode. For this reason, we want to keep the pressure and at this point the volume under control. The previous law allows, therefore, to obtain that the number of the moles is equal to the ratio between the product pressure time volume divided the product Reynolds constant time the temperature. And considering that the pressure is supposed to be constant, the temperature as well, the Reynolds number is considered constant, we can, let's say, simplify this equation by writing n equal to k times v. N, as I said, is the number of the moles that is given, as in the text is explained, by the ratio between the mass and the molecular weight of the particular fluid that we are inserting into the tank. This means that the mass is given by the product of the number of the moles times the molecular weight, and replacing the expression previously obtained, we have that the mass is given by the product of a suitable constant times the volume times the molecular weight. That is, finally, the mass is proportional to the volume as expected. On the other hand, the mass is equal to the difference between the input flow rate and the output flow rate under the integration operation. Consider also that V is the volume inside the tank that will be occupied by the injected fluid. F2 can be considered as a disturbance, and is a very interesting the fact that, as often in other cases, is an additive disturbance, therefore can be eliminated by a feed-forward compensation block. The value of the feed-forward transfer function is, as always, the ratio between a certain coefficient alpha divided another coefficient beta times the transfer function of the actuator, where the actuator is the motorized turbine, so the transfer function basically is a low-pass filter. Finally, the transfer function of the regulation chain can be expressed by the following equation: process variable divided by control variable, that is the internal pressure divided by the angular velocity time the ratio between a suitable constant divided 1 plus s tau. This in turn can be replaced by F1 divided by Ks, considering the mass, the relationship between the internal pressure and the mass after all the previous considerations, time omega, time k second divided 1 plus s tau. But we know that F1 is proportional to the angular velocity, and finally we obtain that the transfer function of the loop chain is k prime divided by k second time s time 1 plus s tau. That is a pole into the origin of the frequencies and a pole into a real value that corresponds to the time constant of the motor. We have two poles, we have a situation that is not stable, therefore, but as often in the past, it is easy to compensate with another block zero pole. The zero will correspond to the pole of the motor, and this will allow not to assure the asymptotic stability, but instead to extend the bandwidth of frequencies at which the process can work. And now let's consider the last request that is related to the choice of the transducer that in some sense is driven by the text of the XM, since a specific type of transducer is mentioned, that is the ultrasound one. This is a very reasonable choice because we can exploit the fact that the pressure is more or less proportional to the volume occupied by the fluid. It would be very difficult to measure the pressure in such an environment because typically the pressure is measured by means of a strain gauge. And in this case, it would be difficult to find a location, a point into which to apply one or two strain gauges. Instead, in this case, considering that the pressure is proportional to the volume, we could consider the idea of measuring the volume. And this is very feasible because we can consider to exploit such a kind of measurement through a level meter, for example. Therefore, in this case, we can consider the slide 83 of the transducer block, not related to the usage of a pulley, but for example related to the usage of a transducer that is located in the bottom of the recipient that in that case contained a water quantity, in this case in the bottom of the tank, and to send an ultrasound beam that will be reflected by the surface of the fluid into which it is merged, and the ultrasound transducer will wait for the echo. Therefore, by calculating the time that has passed between the shot and the echo reception, we will have an idea of the distance that has been made, and therefore of the volume of the fluid, since the area, the basis area, is of course known. Therefore, in the solution, you see that I have copied one of the scheme of the ultrasound transducer to measure the level of fluid into a recipient, without considering the other solution with two, let's say, targets. One is the level of the fluid, and the other is an obstacle at a known height, because in this case we can neglect the sensibility to the temperature. Moreover, we can consider also that the tank is not so large to allow to insert a medium target for the echo of the ultrasound. Another important consideration arises from the analysis of the conditioning network that is included if we have to detect a variable through the ultrasound system, and considering the precision requirement that is requested in the text of the exam. Considering the slide number 20 in the conditioning network, I have copied the electronic interface that allows from the microprocessor to manage both the shot of the ultrasound beam that must reach the surface of the fluid, and to receive the echo. So we remember that there is a MOS that plays the role of a switch, so as to cause one of the two extremities of the capacitor to go from a high voltage directly to the ground, more or less, and this big pulse is reflected in the other extremity of the capacitor, so as to give a very electronic high shock to the piezoelectric sensor that will vibrate at ultrasound frequency. And this is the first phase into which the ultrasound beam is emitted. Concerning the reception of the echo, we remember that the signal is oscillating as shown in the diagram, again in that figure. That signal is transferred to an amplifier that transforms it into a sequence of pulses well squared. And these pulses are very suitable to be acquired by a microprocessor because the electronic circuits will recognize them if they are well squared and not if they oscillate with a certain slope like shown in the diagram in the figure. We remember that the time employed for going to the surface of the fluid and coming back is the time between the shot and the echo. And clearly this will be provided to the microprocessor by a suitable timer. Therefore, in this case, the accuracy required is the number of the bits of the timer that we are considering. But again, as in the previous examples that we have seen, the number of the bits follows the same rule as the ADC converter. That is, the logarithm on base 2 of the ratio between the maximum value that we have to detect divided by the tolerance that is given in the text is the number of the bits that we have to consider. And in this case, since the requirement is 5%, clearly the logarithm on base 2 of 100 divided by 5, that is 20, is 5 bits. That, together with the start of conversion and the end of conversion, will require 7 bits of the port of a microprocessor to be managed. Okay, I think that it's all for today. I give you the appointment to the next week, to the next Thursday, for a new lesson that, as you have seen now, is made by exercises, solutions, and related considerations. Therefore, I wish you a nice weekend and see you next week.